Your Steve Jones Show podcast is loading now. The Steve Jones Show podcast is sponsored by Sunbury Motors, North 4th Street in Sunbury, and Sunbury Motors Kia, routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Sports talk where your voice counts. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
I just had a friend of mine buy Metallica tickets for $308
for the show
at the Link in Philadelphia in May.
Yeah, they're doing a big stadium tour. I hear they're also playing down in D.C. Or no, I heard they're in Baltimore. They're going to be at M&T Bank Stadium in Baltimore by Inner Harbor. I think that's in May as well. Yeah. Crazy.
$308. Now the parking will probably be about 40. He'll probably feel like he has to get a souvenir. That's another 50.
Oh yeah, a shirt that'll last how long? You know.
Well, I mean something that wax the car with. You got to get food, gas. I said, tolls. He goes, no. He says, I'll be going from Pottsville. He says, and we're taking the blue route. I said, you're taking the blue route? Really? The blue route. He says, yeah, we're going to go about 3 in the afternoon. He said, well, we'll beat the traffic. I said, it's Philadelphia. I said, remember, the blue route was obsolete the day they opened it. Oh, $308.
Mm. It's amazing the bands that are on tour doing stadiums this summer. Guns N' Roses, they had a very successful reunion tour last summer. They're going to go back out on the road this year. They've got a date in August at Hershey Park Stadium. And you've got U2. And for the first time ever, U2, they're going to perform their 87 album, The Joshua Tree, in its entirety. And they're going to be at Heinz Field early June. I was tempted to go to that show, but it was about...
U2?
Yeah, for U2, yes.
Yeah, U2, I knew U2, for example, is doing the Rose Bowl because when we were there, they were telling us about it. Okay.
Yeah, if there's like a concert bucket list for me, I'd have to put U2 up there for sure. And I think with tickets and I checked parking for Heinz Field for that show, it was like around, 40, 45 bucks. Wasn't too far away from the stadium. Nice walking distance. A lot closer for those parking tickets for the concert than compared to what I have to do to go to a Steelers game. But yeah, it's amazing all these bands that were successful in the 80s, they're still going strong and they're playing stadiums this year.
Yeah, I heard the theme. I had to relate the story. Metallica.
Wow.
The Big Ten Network is going to the Big Ten Elite Series. Is going to do one of the 2016 Penn State football team.
Fantastic. I know someone who could narrate it.
They've already selected that individual. That's why I know. That individual's already been selected. So, yeah. I knew they'd pick some idiot. Same one that did the 1986 one.
So any specific timetable? Would it probably premiere before the start of football season?
It's in the fall. I'm supposed to narrate it in June.
Great.
It's a one-hour show, so, I mean, how long do you think the narration will take?
Let's see. Mr. One Take Wonder here on the other side of the glass. I would probably have to say, you'd knock it out in under a half an hour.
The last one I did was 15 to 20 minutes. It was, literally. We started at 10 o'clock. We were done at 10:18. We're like, okay, we're done. Thank you. Jack asked me, he says, I mean, how much time do you have to put in? I said, I don't know, 18 minutes. He goes, what?
Plus, they'll probably come into town with a camera crew and get you on screen for maybe a quick clip.
Nope.
No, nothing like that?
Nope.
No? So just the coach and some players, probably?
Yeah, I won't. If I'm narrating it, they said that was one of the decisions they had to make on the 86 one. They said by having me narrate it, it eliminates me being on camera talking about it. I said, okay. I mean, and that was a decision they wanted. They said, look, we went back and forth on this, and they felt that it was much better to have you narrate it. I said, well, if I had my face, it would be much better for me to narrate it, too. And so that's when they do something like that, that's the decision they have to make. They can't have you narrate it and then be one of the individuals telling the story on camera. Just fine. Because the pay rate between the two is dramatic. No. And I mean dramatic. One is zero.
Get that SAG card up to date.
Oh, boy. I mean, yeah. All right. So you get what happens in something like this, you get used in two different ways. You narrate it, and then they use the play-by-play calls from the season. Now, that's acceptable to go from one to the other. It's not acceptable to go from one to the other, and you're on camera. Well, my opinion is.
So probably what Big Ten Network would do, they would probably have it premiering like after a live Penn State football broadcast or something, I would think.
Yeah, probably. Let me see.
It all depends on when they want to first air it, I guess.
Okay. Bum, 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 bum. Okay. Bum, bum. June 14, 15 would be the window to narrate. Oh. Blah, blah, blah. Okay. Great. Cool. So that's what they're doing. All right.
Awesome. We'll look forward to that on TV later in the year, and also some great news of Penn State fans that love the Coach's Caravan, too.
That's back. Let's see. Let's get to the Coach's Caravan. Coach's Caravan is going to be May 8th through the 11th. It goes to York, Harrisburg, Pittsburgh, Hazleton. Let's see. It goes York, Harrisburg, Hazleton, King of Prussia, Philadelphia, Pittsburgh, Altoona, Williamsport. Something like that. It's May 8th through the 11th. Then there's the latest on our travel. Here's one for you. You'll love this. Travel. We either leave tomorrow night at 7... or we leave Friday at 1 for the Saturday game. Okay. So, the biggest concern are the winds on Friday. They're concerned about whiteout conditions at the airport. For some odd reason, they feel like they need to see the runway. I don't get it. Fine. And I guess the entire call is not up to us. It's up to United, I guess, as the charter. So as of right now, we don't know what we're doing. So that's the latest on travel.
That's interesting. I heard the back end of the basketball broadcast last night, and I heard Dick Girardi's version of the weather forecast saying that at that point, Minneapolis or part of Minnesota would be on the upper fringe of the storm and maybe only get an inch or two.
That's not what it says here. It says 8 to 12. It says 8 to 12 inches. Wowzer. How about that? How about that?
Yeah, it makes the warm weather we've been experiencing here in the central Susquehanna Valley even much more appreciated and easier to take.
Yeah, but they've had it. It's 56 degrees there today.
That's weird.
In Minneapolis. It's 56 degrees there today.
It's kind of like Pennsylvania weather during a change at the drop of a dime.
So that's the story there. They don't know what. So we're waiting to see what the airline wants to do. I mean, you know, look, they're the professionals. They're the ones that fly it. So we'll figure it out as it goes. But, we'll just see. I mean, it's all about safety. So when they say to go, go. So like sheep, you go there. Snowfall from tomorrow evening into Friday evening will total 8 to 12 inches. Yeah, okay, cool. Love it. That's great. It's Minnesota. And to think they're the ones who were so vehement about us not being in the conference. Sorry, we've had to go there when it's been really weird. All right. We'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK.
Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. A brand new Hyundai Elantra from Sunbury Motors Hyundai can be yours for only $242 per month. This is not a lease payment. $242 per month on a brand new Hyundai Elantra with America's best warranty. A 10-year, 100,000-mile powertrain warranty. Sunbury Motors says a 2017 Hyundai Elantra is the absolute best buy for your buck in 2017. Sunbury Motors was voted best car dealership, best quick service, and best body shop. Now add best new compact vehicle with a Hyundai Elantra, and you just made the best decision of 2017. Sunbury Motors Hyundai is making 2017 the year of the Elantra. There's 34 to choose from, starting at $242 per month, tax and tags extra, at 2.99% APR for 72 months to qualified buyers. Sunbury Motors Hyundai declares 2017 the year of the Elantra.
Right, got to get the look. There are no moral victories, even though on this show we declare one every day. Raised aren't any moral victories, and that is obviously, you know, last night they're good enough to win that game. They are good enough to win that game, regardless of who it is. They're good enough to win that game. The three young players together in concert with Josh Reeves. Carr, Stevens, Watkins, with Josh Reeves, have formed a really nice core group of four guys that can really play for you. They can really play for you. And they're just going to get better. What they need, and I'll tell you right now, I want to give credit where credit's due to Julian Moore. Julian Moore is a good college backup center. I didn't say he was great, awesome, incredible, off the chart. No. I said he's a good college backup center. Hey, that's what he is. And guess what? He does a good job in that role. They need more consistency out of Shep Garner and Peyton Banks. You're not going to win a game where you're outscored 36-6 from the three-point line, and they almost did. They were 2-for-18 in threes last night. Meanwhile, they Purdue was, what, 12 of 23? Something like that, some number. Which is just off the charts. You get outscored 36-6 at the three-point line, you should be blown out by 25 points. And they weren't. For Purdue, there are certain issues, though, with their team. And the issues with them are as follows. And it was exposed last night. If you pull Swanigan away from the basket 15, 20 feet, he's not quick enough to guard people. He is a great rebounder. And that is the part at the next level. When you go from college to pro, if you can rebound in the pros as well as you can in college. That always translates really well. That's not an issue. But he was exposed out there by Lamar Stevens over and over and over again of being able to take him off the bounce. That was a problem for them last night. And great, again, great player, but still has that issue. Number two, and this is the biggest issue, I stated going into the game that I didn't think their point guard play was really that great for an NCAA tournament level. And last night showed me every minute of the game last night that that is absolutely true. Thompson hit three threes to his credit. All three, he was wide, wide open. Everything else, no. Doesn't distribute the ball well enough, no. And my goodness, if you put pressure on him, he cracks. And defensively, he is a massive liability. He got abused last night. Now, I'm not surprised by any of that. I expect that. That's the player I think he is. I think he's a, you know, he's a good player when you're playing Murray State and when you're playing against the highest level of competition. He's not. It's just the way it is. Haas is too slow. Vince Edwards, I really like his all-around game a lot. Carson Edwards, I really like a lot. Good player. Dakota Mathias, really like a lot. You know, obviously, Haas is a big body. He gets in point blank 5-6 feet. He's going to score. His problem is, you know, reason, you know, why doesn't he play more minutes than he plays? Because Matt Painter knows he's not quick enough defensively to play. And they don't block shots, which I pointed out going into the show. There are no shot blockers there. That's why Penn State was able to keep attacking the way they did last night. But you need more from Shep Garner and Peyton Banks. Banks is the one that lost Klein twice late. When Purdue rallied to beat Maryland, Klein jump-started an 11-point run with a huge three from the corner that changed the entire momentum of the game. Changed it completely. And he hit those two big threes, and that was a wow. And then the other part was, and this is where I'm talking about the where you would hope as a junior the game slows down for you. But the ball doesn't hit the rim, and there's only two on the shot clock. Look, and the shot clocks are as plain as day in the Jordan Center at each end of the court. That's the gigantic red number above the basket. I talked about this in my class, and I have some athletes in my class. I usually do. And I have three this time. And I said, look, I said, I always talk about with more experience in doing play-by-play, the game really slows down for you. What feels like something that goes at the speed of light and is done in 15 minutes 30 years ago now feels, you know, like in slow motion to you. I said, is that that way for as an athlete? And all three of them said, absolutely. That the game is so slow now for them compared to when they started playing. The game's got to slow down for Shep. And that's an example of that play. That was not a bang-bang foul he committed. He had to take two steps to get to him and then commit the foul. All right, well, in one of those two steps, you couldn't have glanced at the shot clock and realized, hey, wait a minute. All right, it's a two.
I was even surprised to hear Matt Painter in the post-game presser last night say, you know, how much time was left when Shep was committed with the, you know, when he committed the foul.
Hey, no offense, that's just a bad play. That's a play I expect a freshman to make, not a junior. You got to be aware of time, score, and situation. That's why they've got that thing up there where even the defender can look at it and say, okay, here we go. They got three or two or three on it. Play it. Garner and Banks can be such swing players down the stretch that can make a big difference in what they're doing.
Taking your calls at 800-795-9565. This is the Steve Jones Show on News Radio 1070 WKOK. Now from the Sunbury Motors Studio, here's Steve Jones.
Sunbury Motors, 4th Street in Sunbury. Sunbury Motors, K-Routes 11 and 15 in Hummel's Wharf. Tony Knopp on the show tomorrow. Talking about the business of sports. The suit, who now wants to be known as the Doctor of Digital, was always massively depressed by this segment. It kind of took the kumbaya out of sports.
This day in sports history, 1860, organized baseball's first game in California played in that on this date in San Francisco. 1962, Wilt Chamberlain attempted 34 free throws at a game against St. Louis, against the Hawks. That was the great thing about his 100-point game. He was 28-32 at the free throw line. 1969, Barbara Jo Rubin became the first woman to win a U.S. thoroughbred horse race. 1985, George Gervin of the Spurs scored his 25,000th career point. 1992, Don Nelson, then with Golden State, won his 700th game as a coach. He actually had one of his play records tied last night. Peter Jock of Iowa knocked down 22 free throws in the win against Indiana. That tied Don Nelson's Iowa record. 1995, the NFL and CBS Radio agreed to a new four-year contract for an annual 53-game package of games. And last but absolutely not least, the greatest upset in the history of sports on this date in 1980 when the United States beat the Big Red Menace 4-3. Loaded with nothing but professionals, the United States college kids beat the Soviet Union 4-3. The greatest upset ever. Even bigger than that Lincoln City thing that happened last week. I know you were huge into that.
Yeah, FA Cup, that was quite the upset.
Has Lincoln City played since? Don't they play Arsenal next?
I believe that's who they beat. They may do like a home.
They did not beat Arsenal.
Okay.
No, they didn't beat Arsenal.
I know there was another Premier League team.
I believe Arsenal is next for them. And somebody told me it's the equivalent of the Reading fighting Phils beating the Cubs.
Oh, they beat Burnley. Lincoln City beat Burnley last week. So, yes, they do play Arsenal next in the FA Cup quarterfinals. Yeah, currently Lincoln City, they're like level 5 out of all the levels in English football.
Now, this is like the old Indiana basketball tournament. This is like Milan winning with Gene Hackman is the coach.
Yeah, the FA Cup is like the entire country of England. It's everybody in all the groups playing each other.
Lincoln City. Incredible.
March the 11th. That FA Cup game with Arsenal, yes.
They'll get crushed. Because Arsenal won't take them lightly now. Is it true Leicester City is on the verge of being relegated again 1 year after the title?
Yeah, they are currently sitting in 17th place in the Premier League standings. What a fall from grace. Claudio Ranieri, the manager, his overall record as manager of Leicester is currently 34-22-22. But they already have players not buying in to what he wants to do this year. And actually, Leicester is currently, as we speak, as we're airing this live on WKOK, they're also in a UEFA Champions League game. They're going up against Sevilla, one of the top teams in Spain. And here's the kicker, too. Leicester City, in all competitions since January the 1st, they haven't even scored a goal. They've been shut out every single game. Not just Premier League, but in all competitions.
Yeah, that sells tickets. All right.
That forms a line in Sportbook, but for the other clubs.
In fact, everybody else is that. We'll play backwards.
It just makes what they did last year even more amazing.
Oh, yeah. All right, let's bring in Jason Rawlson and talk about the Pirates camp so far. What's the biggest takeout of camp there so far?
Well, earlier this morning, we got some news that Young Ho Gong did plead guilty to his DUI arrest over in Korea. Not exactly surprising news, but this is a step in what we all thought would happen. The next update with him is that on March 3rd, he will be sentenced, and I think then you'll see Major League Baseball take whatever action they were planning to take, kind of following the Korean court systems. I'm on record saying that I believe a suspension of some kind will come down.
Uh-huh.
That plus Josh Bell was completely cleared for everything to resume all activities except for full speed running today, so that's a great sign. And other than that, a lot of hitting, you know, a lot of live BP, and games will start ramping up this weekend.
I'm not going to sit here and pretend I know anything about the Korean court system, because I don't think I know anything about the American court system. All right, so, I mean, do you have any read on what the sentencing guidelines are in Korea?
I do not. I do know that he will forfeit his license, I believe, for 2 years. I could be wrong on that. You know, just generally speaking, from some Korean contacts I've developed since Young Ho-gong came over to the team, appearances matter over there, and from all accounts, Young Ho-gong was very contrite, did not fight the charge in any way, so that could go a long way towards any kind of punitive damage as well. So that's about the extent of my knowledge, but I think Major League Baseball will definitely follow their example pretty closely.
All right, let's get back to your news about Bell. Is he the potential solution at first base?
Defensively, no, not quite yet, but offensively, absolutely. He checked off every box you could hope for someone who got called up and really excelled. Let's think about this for a second. He was a call-up who had more walks than strikeouts, albeit that was in 152 plate appearances, mm-hmm. but what more could you really ask for? Defensively, he's still very much a work in progress, but I really think that the Pirates will absolutely live with that if he can still continue to show the ability to adjust to major league pitching as he did last year.
But I think if he can hit, play him. Seriously, if he gets at the major league level, play him. I mean, just keep working with him at first base. I'm sure he's no Pedro Alvarez,
right?
But he's not Mark Teixeira either.
Exactly. I mean, he has the athleticism to play the position. I think at this point it's more about learning, you know, ingraining those instincts that you have to have at first base. I think that's what's holding him up more than any athletic ability.
Usually on a pitching staff, you feel pretty good about four, and then maybe you're searching for a fifth starter. In the bullpen, there's a couple spots you're usually looking for. How stable is the Pirate bullpen, and are there any questions about who the five is? Are there any questions about who the two additional pitchers might be?
Well, there is a little bit of a question in regards that they still have four left-handed relievers on the 25-man, or excuse me, on the 40-man roster. Those being Felipe Rivero and Tony Watson, of course, their positions are beyond safe.
They are locked.
Absolutely. Then you have Antonio Bastardo, who is, you know, a somewhat accomplished major league left-handed reliever, a veteran, who it's very surprising that the Pirates could not find a taker for over the offseason. It was well reported that he's, out of all their lefties, he and Wade LeBlanc being the other two, he was the one they were trying to deal the most, just could not find a taker. Kind of a guy who's in between, you know, not quite a specialist, but not quite a long man, can give you, you know, over the course of two appearances, he can give you one batter or, you know, 1 2/3 innings, that kind of pitcher. So he's valuable to a team somewhere. The Pirates may end up having to eat that salary and DFA him, but we'll see what happens with that. Other than those guys, other than the left-handed quandary, you have Daniel Hudson, who's a lock. You have Juan Nicasio, who's a lock. I think A.J. Shugel pitched well enough last year that he deserves the default position. And after that, it's a toss-up. It really is.
Okay. So after that, it's going to be a toss-up. When you look at the positional situation, who is in the running to be the extra infielder? Who would be in the running to be the extra outfielder?
Well, my answer is kind of one guy for both, and that's Phil Gosselin, the player they just acquired from the Diamondbacks in exchange for Frank Duncan. Yeah, okay. He can play both corner outfield slots. He can play all infield positions, and I think, you know, he's very productive. He's a very good pinch hitter, believe it or not, slashed, hit 285 last year and had an on-base above 350. So he can definitely be a great bat off the bench, you know, a spot start here and there. I also think that Alan Hansen is going to get his last real shot with the Pirates.
Right, okay.
Yeah, he's a guy who has the speed tool, has a very good defensive tool, but just has not had much success putting it all together at the plate. Once very high regarded, kind of has fallen out of favor. Out of options, so this will be his last chance to stick with the Pirates. And other than that, you have John Jason, who apparently is bouncing all over the field again. And Clint Hurdle also gave a hint that Josh Harrison, will also play multiple positions this year. So I think it's going to be a mix and match, but they definitely have the guys to put forth a competent bench, that's for sure.
Once you get to 25 and they make certain decisions here, who will be a couple of guys that may not make the opening day roster that you, Jason, will take a good, long, hard look at in the first 2 months of them in the minors to see if they're fulfilling potential or not?
I like Jose Osuna, who I'm sure some of your listeners will remember from his days with the Altoona Curve. He's a guy who can play first base and outfield, so has a little bit of versatility there. Because kind of reached his peak as a prospect, can hit for some power, but it's more of a contact/on-base guy. As far as pitchers go, I'm going to go with the Lithuanian, Devondis. I'm going to butcher this. I know it. Devondis Neverauskas, again, spent quite a bit of time with the Altoona curve this past year. You know, relievers, as you know, can easily make a jump from Double A up to the majors, and I think he's an underrated prospect. 6'3", throws very hard, has good stuff. So I think those are two names to watch, in addition to the guys who we saw with brief cups of coffee last year, like Trevor Williams and Stephen Brault.
All right. I think the last time Andrew, I asked you about Glasnow, what do you expect him, big club or Triple A, to start?
I think Triple A to start. I think Drew Hutchison, who the Pirates acquired from Toronto last year for the Liriano trade, has the inside track on that job by default. Let me stress that. So far in camp, Glasnow has shown an ability to really embrace that changeup. He has a new grip. It's helping him throw it with a lot more consistency. But I think, you know, he only had 23.1 innings in the majors last year.
Right.
I really think the Pirates will like him to get some innings before they try him up in the big leagues again.
I tell you, they are a fun group because of the young talent they have. I mean, that's what makes the Pirates so interesting, all the young talent, because it's not just young. There is talent there. Jason, thanks so much. Appreciate it.
Thanks, Steve. Have a great one.
Same thing could be said about the Phillies. So it makes it so exciting about the Phillies. All the young, quality talent. Just got an email from the suit. Wanted to remind me about the Truman H. Purdy Memorial Golf Tournament on May 3rd. The one that we've talked about in the air several times in the last 2 weeks.
Yes.
So I emailed him back. Is this you begging to play?
He thinks we should give 10 IndyCar seconds another chance on the show because of all the soccer talk we did about 10 minutes ago. I said, that's probably the first we've kicked around soccer talk here for, you know, since first of the year. Lester, by the way, last check in their UEFA Champions League game. They're now in the second half, 1-0. They're down 1-0, so they're still 0-4 in 2017.
Haven't scored a goal.
Yeah. Yep.
Holy cow.
Yeah.
That is just, I mean, imagine being the marketing department there. All right, we'll come back with more in a moment here on News Radio 1070 WKOK. This guy, Mark Lawrence, doesn't he sound good on that? We've got him so into sports now, not even he knows what to do with it. All right, we will not have a show Friday because of the Phillies. Simple as that.
Yep, so we'll have your brother on tomorrow afternoon at 4:35, and actually he's getting ready to text you and him our games that we'll pick tomorrow afternoon.
Want to pick the Daytona 500, too?
That's the thing. If we go that route, you know, we'd have to bring in the fourth wheel.
No.
Okay.
My goodness, we already have an edict from management. He's never to appear again. I mean, it's like...
Only during bowl season, right?
Oh, we only did that just a little quick pat in the head.
Come to think of it, he'll be back on Shikellamy Play-by-Play. Then we'll be back on doing our high school football roundtable coming up in August when that comes back.
No, we have to court.
True. That's true. I got his number.
Well, why don't we just bring Filazzo back? He was awesome.
Actually, Lawrence and I had a conversation down the hall about a week ago. Could be. I mean, it's February. We got time to hammer this out, but we could have a Carey and Filazzo game night for high school football season, and I'm all in on that.
Why don't you guys just go do the games? We can take the other guy and stick him in the studio.
I did high school football play-by-play one time, and it was for the Loyal Sock Lancers, and it was in, what year was it? 92 or 93? 93, I think it was.
Audience participation way up, ratings up, streaming way up. Ferlazzo.
Actually, that was the same year that the Loyal Sock Lancers basketball team went to the state championship. I actually called a state championship game at Hershey Park Stadium. That was a lot of fun.
There you go. Very nice. Huh.
I don't know how the engineer did it, but he was able to get a Marty remote shot back to Williamsport. We didn't use phone line. How he did it, I have absolutely no idea.
It's because you weren't on the air. Did I ever tell you that story?
He never did.
A friend of mine, this is going back in the 80s. I think it goes back to the 70s. Maybe. Yeah, it's in the 70s. And he's doing the pregame show. And he's at Mitchell Field in Lewistown. All of a sudden, this guy comes over and he taps him on the shoulder. And he pulls the headphone back just a bit. He goes, "You're off the air." "What?" "You're off the air." "We're off the air?" "Yes." He said, "Why are you whispering?" I laughed so much when he told me that story because, I mean, because the person's trying to do the right thing. They're, you know, they're trying not to interrupt. I mean, you know, it was all innocent. I mean, it was all very innocent. A-Rod says he's a life coach. Oh, my goodness. Oh, my goodness. What's next? The title of Doctor of Digital? He likes that, by the way. Being called Doctor of Digital Media. Did you know that?
Dr. D.
Well, we could all fill in later what we think the D stands for. All right.
Life coach. Even you could earn $256 million.
Life coach. I mean, that's already legalized stealing to begin with. What does he get up there and look at everybody and say, "Don't do what I did"? Lesson's over. Life coach. Wow.
Wasn't he going to start doing some consulting, too, for the Yankees? I thought I heard that. It's like, okay, what would he be doing?
Well, I think that's part of the consulting. He's out there with the players doing instruction and also talking to them about...
So that's where life coach comes in.
The pitfalls.
Consultant sounds much more of an official job title than life coach.
I mean, life coach. I believe the suit was a life coach once, wasn't he?
You never shared that with me, if that's true.
Let's get to that last part. Okay, that last part you brought up.
The true part.
If that's true. You know, how some people play like fantasy baseball, fantasy football. Yeah. That's the suit's life. It's all fantasy.
He did, though. He came right in here into the studio. It's like all that soccer talk you're doing, it's like you got to bring back at least 10 good IndyCar seconds. I was like, huh?
Well, you've now mentioned it twice that it totaled 9.8. So I think we've fulfilled that obligation. We can move on.
I said to him, "Did you get the clock app on your iPhone out and you timed how long we were doing soccer talk?"
Well, a lot of people are into soccer talk. There isn't a single person that knows there's an Indy race. By the way, the Daytona 500 is on Sunday. Now, we've always made jokes about how the Super Bowl for NASCAR is first, but actually, in reality, it's brilliant. They put out their biggest race at a time of the year where nothing else is going on. Baseball's in spring training, football's over with. NBA and NHL are in the latter stages of a regular season. And so they get the showcase to themselves. That part actually is brilliant.
We're your home for news, sports, weather, and your home for the Phillies. News Radio 1070 WKOK Sunbury.